Okay, good morning, Rabosai. As always, I'd like to thank everyone for coming to, as we join together every Sunday morning to learn. On this particular day, I'd like to welcome my father-in-law, Rabbi Moshe Kamen, who is a great inspiration to me, who is here for the weekend and joining us this morning at the shir. The topic of today's shir is based on a pasuk that we have in yesterday's parasha. We find that when Yaakov Avinu was asking Yosef to assure him that he would take him, that he would use his royal powers to take him to Eretz Yisrael, that after Yaakov Avinu would pass on, that Yosef should take him to Eretz Yisrael, to the Maariv Machpelah, to bury him. So at the end of that discussion, Yaakov said to him, "V'ani nasati l'cho Shechem achar alachecha." Yaakov said, the way Rashi interprets the pasuk, that in return for this, I am giving you a special Shechem. The word Shechem in the pasuk here means a special portion, more so than your brothers, meaning that Yaakov promised Yosef that in return for you burying me in Eretz Yisrael, I am going to designate for you a special burial place in Eretz Yisrael as well, and that was actually in the city of Shechem, as we know today. But the word Shechem in the pasuk has a dual meaning. It means a share. That's the literal meaning. That's the way the Targum interprets it. But it also, Rashi tells us, means Shechem Mamish, the city of Shechem. So Yaakov said to him, "I am going to give you this additional portion as a burial place." Asher wakachti miyadu Amori, that I took from the hand of the Amori, Rashi says, from Esav, b'charbi u'b'kashti literally means with my sword and with my bow, as in bow and arrow, b'charbi u'b'kashti. However, if you look on the left hand side in the Targum, so the Targum says that these words refer to b'tzolosi u'bava'usi. That the words Charbi uVekashti mean not with my physical force, but rather with my prayers. Meaning that Yaakov Avinu attributed the success in his dealings with Esav to his tefillos. The Charbi uVekashti b'tzolusi uBavousi. Right? We know these words from the Kaddish: "Tiskabel tzoloson uBavuson." So this is what Yaakov Avinu said, that this is how I was able to succeed and to prevail over my brother Esav. And thus we see the great value of tefillah, as we all know, but you see it here in the parsha. So I figured that in this spirit, it would be important to talk about one of the major aspects of tefillah, which is very relevant to us in halacha, and that is the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur, of davening with a minyan. We know that there's a mitzvah of tefillah we discussed a while back. There is a machlokas in the Rishonim, you may recall, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether the mitzvah of tefillah is the Raisim or the Rabbanan, but that refers to the mitzvah of davening in and of itself. But to daven with a minyan is something which there does not seem to be any explicit source in the Torah, but nevertheless, we have this concept that there, which we'll soon see, that it's very, very important to daven with a minyan. Where do we get this from? So if you look here on the sheet and source number 2, it's based to a large degree on the following Gemara in Maseches Brachos. Okay, and it's a long Gemara, so I'm just going to excerpt it. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Yitzchak or Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, My time alosi marlo beknishta litzluye. Rav Yitzchak asked Rav Nachman, How come I don't see you in shul? You think it's just today that this happens, right? So Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, How come I don't see you in shul? Amar lei lo yachilna. He said, I can't. I'm unable to come. Rashi says I'm too weak. I cannot come to the shul. Amar lei. So he said to him, L'chanfi l'mar asar v'litzli. He said, Well, if that's the case, I guess he got the impression that Rav Nachman was davening privately in his home. So Rav Yitzchak said, Well, why don't you at least gather together a minyan in your own home? Amar lei, tricholi milsa. So he said, to which he responded, that it's very difficult for me to do this. I cannot gather together a minyan in my own home. So v'leimalei mar l'shlucha de tibura. So then he countered with his third possibility. He said, why don't you at least ask the gabbai, v'idna de matzli tibura, that at the time that the minyan is being held, apparently they didn't always have a set time, so whenever the minyan is being held, that leisi velo de lamar, that why don't you at least have them inform you when the minyan is being held so that you can come and daven at that time. Meaning that even if you can't make it to the shul, but if you daven at the same time as the tzibur is davening, that would also be valuable. So, Amar lei mai kulei hai. So Rav Nachman said to him, why are you making such a big deal out of this? So the Gemara says, because Amar of Yochum, Shem Hashem Be'achai, he brings the pasuk, Vanis filasi l'cha Hashem eis ratzom. Right, that David HaMelech said that my tefillah should be for you, should be the prayers that I say should be by you, Hashem, should be considered as if they're always being said at an eis ratzon, at a time of acceptance. So, which means that from this pasuk, which we say often in the davening, eis ratzon, means that apparently David was saying that when I pray, it should always be considered an eis ratzon, a time of special of acceptance, which implies that there exists within davening a time that tefillos are accepted more so than other times. Because that's what David was asking, that when I pray, it should be like an eis ratzon, like the special time, which, so obviously there is such a time. Says the Gemara, when is that time? Emas ayes ratzon, b'shoa sha'atzibur misfalur. At the time that the tzibur davens, which means that at the time that a minyan davens, it is considered always, no matter when that time may be, it's not dependent on the time of the day, but whenever the tzibur davens, it is considered an eis ratzon, as a time of acceptance. As we know, the Gemara tells us elsewhere. I'm sorry? Yeah, there's this man tefillah. The tefillahs have to be said, obviously, the shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv, each one has its own zman. However, the time that the tzibur is davening, says the Gemara, that's what the Gemara is referring to over here, that this b'shosh, that tzibur misfalim, that's the time, whenever that time may be, that is the eis ratzon. Okay, so thus we have this idea of the chashivus of tefillah b'tzibur. Now if you skip a couple of lines here, the Gemara says, and this is the pasuk that's quoted in the poskim, that Rav Acha, Rav Chanina, Amar Mehocha, that the source of this, so David said there's an eis ratzon, but the pasuk did not define when that is. In other words, the pasuk just implies that there is a special time that Hashem is particularly receptive to prayer. There's a certain scenario that Hashem receives the tefillahs willingly, but it doesn't say in that pasuk when it is. So the drasha that they made was that is b'tzibur, but you don't see that clearly in the pasuk. So the Gemara proceeds to say that Rav Acha said that you see it from this pasuk, which is found in the book of Iyov. It says, the pasuk is, the way the Gemara says it, it's the longer, the pasuk itself is longer, but the Gemara excerpts the pasuk, Hein kel kabir velo yimaz. Hein kel means, behold Hashem, kabir velo yimaz, does not despise though the numerous. That's the way it's translated. Kabir velo yimaz, Hashem does not despise those who are numerous. Meaning that when a group comes to daven, and we have a Mesorah, the Gemara derives in other places that there's the concept of a minion, the Gemara learns from the Meraglim, that there is a special power to 10 men. So there is a kabir velo yimas, that when there is a numerous, when there's a group of people, lo yimas, Hashem will not despise those tefillahs. And then it says further, padav shalom nafshi, that David HaMelech said that Hashem redeemed my soul in peace, mikrovli, and Hashem redeemed me from situations that were difficult, kibirabim hoyu imadi, because of the masses that were with me, kibirabim, because of the masses of people, hoyu imadi, that were with me, because of that Hashem helped me. So therefore we have two psukim which tell us more to the point that the power of tefillah is when it is said with a group. When it is said with a group, and again you'll say, well, how big is a group? A group is a relative term. So we have the tradition that there's a special chashivas to a minyan, and thus we have the idea of tefillah b'tzibur, that to daven with a minyan has special power. Special power. Hashem is not, and the Gemara precedes the very last. The Gemara says, "Tanya Nami Hachi Reb Nosson Omer Minayin Shein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moes B'Tzvilosim Sharabim." That how do we know that Hashem will never despise? Meaning, Hashem will never turn away the tefillos of the Rabbim. Shenemar Hein Kel Kavir V'Lo Yimas Uksiv Chadav Shalom Nafshi etc. So these are the two psukim that are brought that support this idea of davening with a minyan. Okay, now the question presents itself a few things. First of all, these psukim are found in the Ksuvim. These psukim are not found in the Chumash, right? So one pasuk is in Iyov, one pasuk is in Tehillim. So it would seem that the Tefillah B'Tzibur is not the Doraisa. We don't find a makar in the Chumash, a direct source in the Chumash that refers to it. Some point to the fact that when Avram prayed about Sodom, so he said if there will be 10 people in the city, that there's a special power of 10, but that's not a drasha that's found in the Gemara, and therefore, as far as a source that we have for Tefillah B'Tzibur, it really would be Midrabanan. It would be Midrabanan. The question is it a chiyuv or not? Is it a chiyuv or not? Is it something, so what from this Gemara you see that Hashem will never turn away the prayers that are said with a tzibur. So that may just mean that, well, it's a it's a good idea. It's highly recommended that if a person has a tefillah to say, that he should say it with a minyan. But to say that it's obligatory to say it with a minyan, so that the question is that did the Gemara mean that? Do we take it to that extent? Or is it just that, okay, it's a very good thing to do. And obviously, the relevance in this shiloh is going to be great, because whether you have to go, a person comes home, in the morning, you have to get up and go to shul, do I have to do that? Is it just a good idea? Let's say I say that, today, fine, I'll daven in my house for whatever reason. Do I have to make a special effort to go to shul? And so too at night, we have the challenge, mincha nowadays is during the workday, pretty much, but let's say even Ma'ariv, we have the special minyanim that are for Ma'ariv, even later than the shuls that daven at the time, the set time. So the question is a person obligated to do this or not? That is the question that I would like to discuss, and then I would like to turn to if in fact there is an obligation to daven with a minyan, when a person has a heter not to daven with a minyan, when there could be scenarios that a person could be potter from this. So we find, if you turn over the page, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam writes at the beginning of the 8th parak of Hilchos Tefillah, Tefillah had tzibur nishmas tamid, that a tefillah that is said to tzibur is always heard. Is Hashem always receives those tefillahs, meaning that a tefillah that is said privately could possibly run the risk that if it's not said correctly, if it's not said with kavana, if it's not said with the proper frame of mind, that the tefillah may not get through. It may not get through. It may not make it to the point that it's received, right? We're misfowl constantly. Tiskabel, tzolozon, avozon. We pray that our tefillah should be answered. That our tefillah should be accepted. So the Rambam says, apparently it's not such a simple thing. So the Rambam, based on the Gemara that we just read, the Rambam says that tefillah satzibur is always heard. Vafilu haya behem chatoim. And even if there were people in the minyan who were sinners, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moes B'Tfilosim Shel Rabim. The Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara and the Pasuk that says that Hashem will not despise such a tefillah, so it doesn't just mean that Hashem will not turn it away, but presumably the Rambam understood that to mean that why would Hashem turn it away? So one reason might be because in the group of people who are praying, could be people who aren't on the highest spiritual level. And therefore, you might think that these prayers aren't going to be answered. Look who's in this minyan, right? There are people in this minyan who don't go by the halacha, who do things that are wrong, who don't have the finest reputations. But nevertheless, if it's a tzibur is lo yimas, Hashem will not reject. Now, as an aside, there is a topic which would be a topic for a shiur in of itself, that who can be counted into a minyan. Is it, you know, what happens if you have a person who's not religious at all? That's a very big shaila nowadays that comes up a lot, that if you have you're in the airport, you're trying to make a minyan, and you find somebody who he's Jewish, but that's about as far as it goes. He knows he's Jewish and nothing more, whether that person can be counted. And that's a topic in itself. The Rambam is not necessarily addressing that, but what the Rambam means is that even if they're not all tzaddikim, even if they're not all righteous people, nevertheless, if it's a tzibur, Hashem will overlook that, so to speak, and the tefillah will be accepted. And then the Rambam proceeds to say, "Lefikach, therefore, tzarech adam l'shatef atzmo im hatzibur." Says the Rambam, therefore, a person has to try to make himself part of the tzibur. V'lo yisfalol yichidi calls man sheyochol lisfalol b'tzibur. Says the Rambam, because of this, therefore, a person should not pray individually, so long as he's able to daven with a minyan. In other words, even though that part the Gemara didn't say, at least not in the Gemara that we read, we'll soon see the Gemara that this is based on. But the Rambam puts in that a person should not daven biyachid as long as he's able to daven with a minyan. Meaning, if there's a minyan in the town, you have to go to daven with that minyan. Yes.
What if you're stuck in the town and there's only a conservative shul there and they have a daily minyan?
Oh, now we're getting into the real nitty-gritty. It's too early in the shir. It's only 15 minutes into the shir to this. I didn't even have a cup of coffee yet. So, all right, we'll see. We'll get to that in a while. So now, if you look down here on the bottom of the page, the source, so the Rambam seems to be clear in the Rambam that a person has to try to daven with a minyan. He doesn't say, now if you want to be, very nitpicking in the Rambam, he doesn't say that it is forbidden not to daven with a minyan, nor does he say that it is absolutely obligatory. He doesn't use the words chayiv or usur. He doesn't use any of those words. Nevertheless, he says, lo yisbal yechidi. He says, you shouldn't do it. You should not daven b'yechidus, meaning it's not an option that a person can simply say, well, look, you know, I know it's better to daven with a minyan, but what could you do? You can't have everything, so I'll daven on my own. Says the Rambam, no, a person should not do that. Now, from the Gemara that we read up to this point, you don't see that it's any sort of obligation. The basis for the idea that tefillah b'tzibur is an obligation comes from a statement that is found in the Gemara Maseches Pesachim on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. And the Gemara there is talking a very interesting thing. The statement is made in passing. The Gemara is discussing something pertaining to the laws of Chometz. And the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, if you look, it's about six lines from the top of the quote. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Avo, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Avo said in the name of Reish Lakish, Legavel uletfila uletilas yadayim arba milim. The Gemara says that there are three things, there are three inyanim in halacha for which a person who's traveling would have to travel an additional distance in order to accommodate these areas of halacha. And they are, the first one is a halacha that's not relevant in our time, that legabel means that if someone, one person gives his dough to another person to knead the dough, and the vessel that was given to him was a vessel that was tameh, so even though a non-kohen is not doesn't have to be so concerned about the laws of Tumah and Tara as much as a Kohen would, but nevertheless, the halacha is that a person should travel up to a distance of 4 milin, which we'll discuss how far that is, in order to procure a vessel that is Tara. That's what it means, Lagabel. Okay, but the point that we're interested in is L'tfila. It says that for Tfila, a person has to go a distance of 4 milin. Now you'll say, what does that mean? A person could daven anywhere. What does it mean that you have to go 4 milim? So the Mefarshim explained that what the Gemara here means is for tefillah in a Beis HaKnesses with a minyan. In order to daven with a minyan, a person who is traveling would have to extend his trip. Rashi on the Gemara, which unfortunately was not put on this sheet, but Rashi says that what the Gemara is referring to is a person who's traveling and he reaches towards the end of the day. He says, all right, it's enough, I'm tired, I'm going to check into some motel and stay over the night. And then he calculates that within a distance of 4 mil, within this certain distance, there is a place that he could daven with a minyan. So the halacha is that he must continue till he gets to that point to daven. Okay, that is as far as traveling ahead of where he's intending to go, meaning that he's going that way anyway. For example, a person who would be driving from Miami to New York, a drive that I have become familiar with over the years, so we know that that's a very special experience, especially when you have a car full of screaming kids to make that drive. It brings you very close to God, and therefore you would think that you don't have to go any extra distance in order to daven with a minyan. But nevertheless, the Gemara says that if you've had it for the day and you want to check in to a motel, but you know that if I go a little bit further, there will be a minyan, and I'll be able to daven this way, I'm going to have to daven privately. Says the Gemara that a person would have to travel 4 milin. 4 milin in the modern day terminology, there is a discussion whether that means the distance or the time that it travels, that it takes to travel the distance. But what's accepted is that 4 milin would be the amount of time it would take to travel 72 minutes. 72 minutes would be 4 milin, which is quite a statement. That if a person knows that an hour up the road, he's tired, I wanna call it a night. Now, it doesn't mean you have to put yourself in sakana. If a person is driving a car and is afraid that I just can't go any further because I'm gonna fall asleep behind the wheel, so obviously the sakana would not make a person obligated to travel this distance. But all things being equal, a person would have to go 4 milin, so says the Gemara. And then if you look a few lines later, the Gemara says, the last few lines of this citation, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, lo shanu elo lefano. Says the Gemara, that's only a person has to travel ahead of where he's interested in stopping. Avala acharav, but what happens if he realizes that where I am now, I already passed the place where there is a minyan? Then, afilu mil eno chozer. Then the Gemara says, then for that he would not have to go back. However, Amar Avacha, that Umina Milhu de Eno Chozer, Hapachos Mi Mil Chozer, says Rav Acha that what was meant was that to go back means that you would not have to go back if it was the distance of 1 mil. Now remember, we said 4 mil is the distance it takes 72 minutes. So, if you have your expertise in math, you will realize that 1 mil would be 18 minutes, right? 72. I'm sorry?
1 minute is 2,000 more. That's a good long period.
Okay, but that's right. But the consensus of the poskim, especially the modern poskim, is that it's not the distance per se, but it's the time it takes to travel that distance. The modern day poskim, Rabbi Yashiv, Shulam Biwell, and others say that if a person has a car then he would have to go that distance, because that's the amount that the rabbis, a car, he had to walk, he had to go on a horse and wagon, which was a much slower mode of travel, so they didn't burden you to travel more than this distance. So the way it is commonly interpreted is that this would be the distance that a person would have to travel. So now, what the Gemara is saying is that if you're going ahead, meaning that if anyway you're going to travel that distance, and it's just a question of should you stop now or should you keep going, so for that, the shear is 4 mil. And the rationale behind that is because you're going that way anyway. So it's not such a tircha, it's not such a burden to a person to say, to go that way, because it's not out of my way. It's not, to the contrary, it's on my way. The only thing is that I was going to stop now. However, to go back, which is out of my way, or the poskim all say, what happens if it's not in the front, not in the back, but it's to the side, also, or to the east or to the west, if you're traveling north to south, if it's out of your way, whatever, to whatever degree it's out of your way, so then you only get up to the shear of a mil. This is the Gemara. So now, the Gemara tells us, therefore, that to daven with a minyan, a person has to go ahead and travel these distances. Now, from the fact that the Gemara places this as a requirement, and we'll see that this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, so from this, the poskim derive that apparently there is a chiyuv to daven with a minyan. Meaning that it's not just a good idea. If it was just a good idea, we wouldn't have these rules. We wouldn't have such a concept that you have to travel X amount. I mean, if it's a good idea, I'll do what I want. If I'm interested in davening with a minion, so I'll daven with a minion. If I'm not, I'm not. I won't. What are you telling me? That there are shiurim that I have to go 4 mil forward and 1 mil backward, up to 1 mil backward. How could you tell me that? Unless it seems clear that in the view of the Chazal, Tfila B'tzibur was a chiyuv. So from this Gemara, many poskim and prominently Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Igros Moshe, in the second volume of the Igros Moshe, determines that they derive from this Gemara that it is a chiyuv for a person to daven with a minyan, to do whatever they can to daven with a minyan. Now, it happens to be that the Gemara that we just read does not talk about the most common scenario of Tfilah B'Tzibur, which is what happens if a person is sitting in his home. In other words, the Gemara is talking about a person who's traveling. And the way the Gemara expresses it is that if you're traveling, you have to keep traveling in order, if there's a shul an hour down the road, you have to keep going, don't stop. If you're able to, keep going and make it your business to get to that minyan. If you already passed it by, up to an 18-minute trip would be the requirement. But that's all speaking about a person who's traveling. What about a person who is sitting in his home? Right? So if I'm sitting in my house, I'm not going anywhere. So one might argue that, I'm not traveling. So therefore, maybe if I'm sitting at home, I don't have to, I'm beyond what the Gemara was discussing. So the consensus of the poskim in this matter is, that we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, that a person sitting at home is no different than what the Gemara says about going backwards. In other words, ein hachinami, to say that a person should have to travel 72-minute distance to go catch a minion if I'm sitting in my house, that you don't see from this Gemara, because of the fact that the Gemara is talking about a person who is making that journey anyway. So if it's just a question of when you're going to get to that destination. In other words, for example, a person is driving in northern Florida, and he says, well, I know in Jacksonville there's a shul, but it's going to take me another hour. I'm ready to stop for the night, but I know that an hour from here, I can hit Jacksonville, and there's a minyan. So the rationale that he should have to make that trip is because, well, you're going there anyway. You're going there anyway, so what's the difference? Why don't you just push yourself a little bit more now? But a person who's sitting in his house, you can't say that to. You say to a person, let's say there would be no minyan in Miami, but there is one, let's say, in West Palm Beach. You say, well, you go an hour, you'll get there, right? But I'm not going there. I'm not going there. So why should I have to do that? So the poskim say that may be, that is a valid argument. However, the Gemara did say that if you already passed it by, you would have to go in reverse. You would have to go out of your way up to the shear of a mill, up to the amount of time that it would take to go 18 minutes. And therefore, it comes out that that logic should hold even a person sitting in his house. Because that means that to go out of my way, I have to be willing to go up to 18 minutes. If it's any way in the path that I'm going, then the shear is larger. The shear is a greater shear. I would have to go up to 72 minutes. But in the common scenario, the common shiloh of a person sitting at home on a Sunday afternoon and saying, you know, I'm just not in the mood to get up and go to mincha. I'll daven right here in my house. If there was a minyan here in my house, I would use it. I would daven with the minyan here. But to go to shul, not something that I would I'm comfortable doing right now. So we see from the Gemara that a person has to go out of his way, and therefore that is what we'll see in the halacha is held to be the chiyuv of tefillah b'tzibur, that a person has to be willing to travel a distance of up to 18 minutes. Yes.
So when you say to participate in tefillah b'tzibur,
yeah,
does that mean specifically the amida?
I'm going to get to that. We'll get to that soon. Okay, fine. Good question. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Based on this Gemara, it would seem that we have this chiyuv. Now the curious thing is, if you turn now to source number 5, so the way this halacha made its way into the Shulchan Aruch, it's very interesting that the topic of tefillah b'tzibur does not have its own subsection in the Shulchan Aruch. You would think there would be a whole siman dedicated to the laws of tefillah b'tzibur, but we're at least speaking about the importance of davening with a minyan. But this halacha is siman sadi sif tes. It says the following. The Shulchan Aruch says, Yishtad's underlined on the top by Sif Tes. Yishtadel Adam lihispalel v'beis hakneses imatzibur. Says the Shulchan Aruch that a person should make an effort to pray in a synagogue, v'beis hakneses, in a shul, imatzibur, with a minyan. Now, it says yishtadel. Yishtadel means you should try. It doesn't say that you're obligated to. We just said from the Gemara that it would seem that if the rabbis made a shir, that you're obligated to. And here, the Shulchan Aruch apparently shoots down this notion by saying, Yishtadel. Yishtadel means you should try, which would imply that if you can't, you can't. So this is a big discussion amongst the later commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, why he used that expression. Everybody agrees that this expression is to some degree what we say lav dafka, that he didn't mean it that way. He didn't mean to say that it's only you should try, and if you can't, you can't, because the Gemara in Pesachim that we just read, which the Shulchan Aruch himself brings, we'll get to in a little bit, that you have to travel even a certain distance, implies that it is an obligation to daven with a minyan. So therefore they say that what he means is over here, that some say he means that the yishtadel means that really you have to daven with a minyan, but you should try to daven with a minyan in a shul. Meaning that we know that it's, you see that from the Gemara that we read, the original Gemara in Maseches Brachos, that if a person is davening with a minyan, even if you're going to daven with a minyan, it's better to daven in a shul than to daven in a house. Right, because the shul is a makom tefillah, and that has a special sanctity to it, that it has special kedusha. This is the miyuchad with tefillah. This is the place where everyone davens, and therefore, you know, sometimes people think, well, let's make a minyan in a house for convenience. So, okay, you know, it's still obviously it would still be tefillah b'tzibur, no doubt. But there is a milah, there is an advantage to prayer that it should be said not only with a minyan, but it should be said in a shul. It should be said in a shul or in a beis hamedrash, but something of a place which is designated for that. Okay, so some want to say that that's what the Shulchan Aruch means when the Shulchan Aruch says you should try. That's what he means. In other words, to daven with a minyan, that he wouldn't say you should try. That you must. But as far as do you have to go dafka to a shul, so that is shtadl. That's what some people want to say. There are various interpretations. But let's continue here. So the Shulchan Aruch says that v'im hu anus And we'll get back in a second. So this is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, actually, let's read it. He says, "V'muwanu sheni yachol avol beis haknesses. If a person for some reason can't make it to the shul, yichavim lispalo b'shosha tzibur mispalolim." This is something that most people don't know, that if you can't make it to shul, so you should at least try to time your davening to be at the same time that they're davening in the shul. Okay, and that's based on the original Gemara that we read with Rav Nachman, that you recall that Rav Yitzchak said to him that if you can't make it to shul, so at least why don't you have them notify you when they're praying in the shul. Which means that this commonly happens, that if a person for whatever reason cannot make it to the minyan, you say, well, I'll daven mincha, or shachris, whatever it may be, I'm going to daven in my house. So it's better, if you can, to wait to the time that the shul is davening and daven, because that way somehow you could have like a virtual tefillah b'tzibur. This has preceded computers, but nevertheless, long before the internet, we find this concept that you could be considered connected to the minyan if you daven at the same time that the shul is davening. It doesn't have the ma'ilu of tefillah b'tzibur. It's not the highest form of tefillah b'tzibur, but nevertheless, this would be something which is also preferable. Okay, and if we turn over the page, and then we'll get to the heterim as promised. But if we turn over the page, we find that the Shulchan Aruch also paskins here in the same siman a page later. He says in Sif Pezayin, which is underlined, he says that Taholech Baderech. He brings that if a person is traveling, the Higil Ir Verotzal Lowen Bun, he arrives at a place that he wants to stay over the night. If in front of him, if he knows that if I keep traveling within this shear of 4 milin, there will be a ability to daven with a minyan, then he would have to go there. But to go in reverse, then he would have to go back up to the distance of a mil. So thus we find it is certified Psak halacha in the Shulchan Aruch that a person has to daven with a minyan, that to the point that one would even have to travel, and that's the way it is. Okay, so that means that if we live in a town like this, Baruch Hashem, we have binyanim, that a person would be obligated, and without it would seem from this, without exception, that a person would have to daven with a minyan, although we did a moment ago see that due to an ones, a person would be exempt from a minyan, but we'll see soon what would be considered exemptions. Yes, yes.
Are there any considerations other than time factors? Or what meaning, let's say, momentous?
Okay, we get that right now. So that's, okay, right now. So, here you have the chiyuv to daven with a minyan. Okay? So, it's not a small thing. It's not a nice thing to do. It's not a good idea, but apparently by the fact that we have a shear, by the fact that the Shulchan Aruch is brought in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a person has to travel a certain distance to get a minyan, they would not say that if it was just a good idea, because if it's a good idea, then it's an option, you can do what you want. By the fact that the Shulchan Aruch legislates this means that a person has to daven with a minyan. Now, a common misconception is the following. A common misconception in davening with a minyan is that many people think that what is the big thing, what is the great accomplishment of having a minyan? So we know that there are parts of davening that can only be said with a minyan. For example, Kaddish, or Baruch Hu, or Kedusha, Kriyas HaTorah, right? There are things that can only be done with a minyan. And therefore, when we speak about the importance of going to shul, so naturally the natural inclination would be that the advantage of going to shul is for things that you can't do if you're davening privately. So therefore you can't have Kaddish if you're davening privately, you can't have Kedusha if you're davening privately, so you go to shul and you have that. But we have to be aware that the Shulchan Aruch said, the Poskim say, it's brought in the Mishnah Berurah. If you turn back to source number 5, if you look at in the Mishnah Berurah section at the end of the column on the right hand side, He says, Tfila b'tzibur, says the Mishnah Berurah, hu tfilas yud ches, that the importance of Tfila b'tzibur is to daven, is the Shmona Esrei. Dahainu she'ispa'u asara anoshim shehen gidolim b'yachad. That the importance of Tfila b'tzibur, the stress is placed on the Shmona Esrei. That is Hachi Chashuv, that's the most important aspect. Davening the Shmona Esrei together with a minyan means, as we know, 10 men over the age of Bar Mitzvah, that is the importance of Tfilah B'Tzibur. Says the Chafetz Chaim, V'lo kamo shechoshvin ha'amon, and not like most people assume, she'ikar lehisfala ba'asara, that the main point of being in shul with a minyan is hurak l'shmo kadosh u'kedusha u'baruchu, right? That the people, it's natural that a person would think this, right? Because you would say that's the whole advantage of the minyan. That's what you see in front of your eyes. So therefore, people say, all right, I'm going to go to shul for kadosh purposes, for kedusha, and what? How does that mistake manifest itself? That therefore, people who arrive in shul aren't always careful to say the Shmona Esrei with a minyan. You see this very often, that sometimes a person comes in late, or whatever it may be, or even stam, person taking his time, davening, and says, well, I'm here in shul, and everybody's davening, so I'll get up to the Shmon Esrei whenever I feel like, and the main thing is that I'm here, and I'm going, and I hear Kaddish, and I hear Kedusha, and I'm going to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is a mistake, because the main feature, the main benefit of Tfilah B'Tzibur is to say the Shmona Esrei with the minyan. As we saw the Psukim in the Gemara, right? Hein kabir lo yimos, that Hashem will not turn away, will not despise the prayers of the numerous people. Ki barabim hayu imodi, the other pasuk, right? That my prayers were accepted because they were said with a rabim. So that means that a person has to be careful to say the Shmona Esrei with the minyan. Being in the shul is advantageous, obviously, but for the other reasons as well. But the ikar is to say the Shmona Esrei with the minyan. And therefore, to whatever degree possible, a person should try to say the Shmona Esrei with the tzibur. Even in certain scenarios, a person would be allowed to skip parts of the davening. We know that it's really a topic in its own right, but the Psukim de Zimra, the first part of the davening, a person has to say, but in a case of absolute need, a person could just say a minimum, he could just say Baruch Sha'amar and Ashrei and Yishtava, and all of that would be justified for the purpose of being able to catch up to the minyan when they're saying Shmona Esrei. Because that's the main thing. If you come to shul and you miss the Shmona Esrei B'Tzibur, but you hear Kaddish, so okay, it's a very worthwhile thing. It was still worth coming. But that's not why they made such a big deal out of it. The Iker Tfilah B'Tzibur is the Shmona Esrei. And therefore, that's true by Shachris, Mincha, Meir, Musaf, makes no difference. A person always best to say the Tfilah with a minyan. Okay. So that's as far as that goes. Yeah, go ahead.
What about
Okay, I'm going to get that also. Okay, everyone's on the ball. I'm going to get to all these questions. Okay, fine. So now, where are the Heterim? And we're running short on time, but we'll stretch it out to get all the Heterim. Yeah, yes.
If you're down a little slow.
Yes.
And you start, when the air boils, they down in stress.
Yes.
You're going to join up.
Yes. So the truth of the matter is, that to say the Shmona Esrei with the Tzibur is very important. The main thing is to start the beginning of the Shmona Esrei with the Tzibur, the first section. In other words, if you're gonna catch them by the end, so that's also something. But the best thing is to say the Shmona Esrei from the beginning, the first bracha, what's called the Avos. That is the main thing that a person is supposed to try to start together with a minyan. But just by the way, a scenario commonly where this happens is on Rosh Chodesh, where we have the custom that we take off the tefillin before we say Musaf. So it happens a lot of times, you know, that in the shul, you know, you always wonder about that. Who decides when they give the bang to start Musaf? You know, is that a paid position, or is that just some strong-armed person who decides that, it's time to start? But it never suits everybody. That's one thing that we know for sure. No, you will never find a shul where everybody agrees, okay, now's the time to start. because this one is still wrapping his tefillin, this one is still folding his talus, this one already finished 2 minutes ago and he's sitting there annoyed, what are you wasting my time? So the halacha is that it happens all the time. So even though now there's a halachic aspect to this also, because to leave tefillin untended to, unwrapped, is, we once spoke about it, bizui mitzvah, right? That's disrespectful to the tefillin. A person should just leave his tefillin in a state of, pull off the tefillin and leave him there. However, in order to get tefillah b'tzibur in the preferred way, a person should start the Shemoneh Esrei together with the tzibur. So if I take my sweet time wrapping my tefillin, and they're starting musaf, really the right thing would be to put down the tefillin, maybe to cover them over so they're not in a total state of disregard, and to start the Shemoneh Esrei with them, because that is the primary tefillah b'tzibur, to start the Shemoneh Esrei. If you daven slowly and you catch up to them eventually, that's also tefillah b'tzibur, but it's not quite as good. The best thing is to start with them. Okay, so now, when can a person have an exemption for davening with a minyan? Okay, so in the Gemara that we read, so we saw that they asked Rav Nachman, why didn't you come to shul? So he said, I can't, I'm too weak. So obviously, that would be a situation where a person is physically weak, he's not feeling well, or something like that, kosh koko, that such a person would not have to come to daven with the minyan. Obviously, everyone would have to judge for themselves, how they're feeling, and, is this the type of thing that would have kept me away from going to the ball game or going to some other, to going out to the restaurant. But if it's the type of thing where a person says that I don't feel well, so, okay, fine, that would be one exemption. Now, I'm sorry.
What is davening with the minyan?
Yeah.
Just the fact to be there with 10 people is enough?
To be sent. What's
the
other choice?
Can I be 3 pages behind?
No, I'm saying the main thing is to say the Shemoneh Esrei with them, to start the Shemoneh Esrei with them. That's the main thing. Okay, so what about the most common situation is if it's going to involve a financial loss? This is by far the most common case where it comes up that a person in the chakras has to go to work, and I can't daven a minyan. I can't. I have to, I have to be at my job at a certain time. So the psak is like this, very interestingly. So the Mishnah Berurah here says, and because it's a little late, I'll just maybe even excerpt it. So in the second column, in Chaf Tes, in the Mishnah Berurah, source number 5, in the left-hand column, so he says, where it's Tifkat and Chaf Tes, he says, the imhu ones momo. If a person had, the Shulchan Aruch said that due to an ones, due to some stress, a person would be exempted from davening with a minyan. What about if that stress is financial? So says the Mishnah Berurah that what then, that would also count as a basis for missing a minyan, but with the following understanding. Only if it would cause a loss, not if it would prevent a profit. Meaning that if a person is going to lose money if he davens with a minyan, for example, if a person has, his boss says, if you're not there on time, I'm going to fire you. Or even if I'm not going to fire you, it's going to come off your check. And the only way for me to daven with a minyan in my neighborhood would be to get to the minyan and it's going to force me to show up late to work, so I'm going to lose money. So the halacha is that in that situation, this is the Mishnah Berurah says, that the modern day poskim say as well, that in the Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach, others say this, that in such a situation, a person would be exempt, would be exempt is too strong of a word, a person would be allowed to say that I don't have to go to the minyan if it's going to cause me a loss. However, it does not apply if it's going to prevent me from a gain. Which means that if I could do even more business, if I daven privately, so I could manage this way. I could provide for my family. Right? The modern poskim say that if a person can't make a parnasa for his family, it's very hard to determine when it's a loss and when it's a lack of a gain. So basically, the way it's said over of Eliyashiv and one of the sefer Panine Tzvila says that if you can't provide for your family, if it's a question of parnasa, so then that would be a reason that a person could say, all right, I can't go to the minyan. But But you have to determine that. You have to determine, is that in fact the case? If it's just that if I didn't go to shul, I could make a tremendous deal, because right now there's a sale online, some company is running a big sale, and if I skip the mincha, I'll be able to get the deal, or if I skip Ma'ariv or whatever it may be, so that is a menias revach. A menias revach, the Mishnah Berurah says here, not going to read it inside, but the Mishnah Berurah says that is questionable, that not questionable. Mishnah Berurah says that a person could not use as a justification. So therefore, that's a situation that a person has to judge. Very common that people go on flights and they look online for the inexpensive tickets, and let's say that ticket runs into the time you could have gotten with a minion. So if you have to be in a certain place for a certain reason, a person has a business meeting, or a person has a medical appointment, or a person has even a bar mitzvah that a person is traveling to be with someone for the sake of a mitzvah, be gecholim or a chasana or something like that. So then all of those types of things would justify it, but it would have to be that some attention was paid to the possibility that maybe if I took the next flight, I could get it and still daven with a minyan. In other words, some consideration has to be given to that. It can't just be dismissed out of hand and say, well, you know, it's $10 cheaper if I take this flight, so, all right, I'll get, you know, and then you get into all the issues, you're diving on a plane and who knows what. That already is not such a simple matter. That's not just such a simple matter, because that could be construed, if you're approaching it from the financial aspect. In other words, if you have a heter that, well, actually, maybe we should wait till we say the other heter. But if a person had a specific heter, so then, okay, you know, I have a heter. But if you're going to use the financial aspect of it, the flight is cheaper. So the flight is cheaper or not cheaper is a question of it's not necessarily, well, it's a shaila. Is that considered a loss or a lack of a gain? And as you say, well, it's a loss because I have the money and I have to part with the money to buy a ticket. But is that really true? In other words, nothing's being deducted from me. I have to make this trip. So the question is that maybe this is just a question of saving money. So saving money may be a question of menias revach. So this is a shaila that maybe should be asked. Yeah, I'm not going to get myself into trouble. This is a shaila that maybe should be asked. Okay, what other heterim do we have? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo says, for the purpose of brios, for a person's health, a person can, if needed, bypass a minyan, and therefore the way that is commonly applied is that people go on vacation. So it again becomes a big shiloh, because in our times there used to be people were satisfied to go to Eretz Yisrael and excited to go to Eretz Yisrael where davening with a minyan would not be an issue. But today we've become very sophisticated and we have all types of exotic travel, and we travel to far-reaching places that we never knew existed before until the travel agent mentioned it. Right, there are all kinds of islands and far-off countries. And there's no chance you get a minyan in a place like that. So the question is, should you go there or not? So what it really comes down to is it, do you need to go to that place in order to have your vacation? In other words, it could be, Rabbi Achmas mentioned to me yesterday, I told him I would say over that he heard this from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky in the name of his father, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that sometimes for a Jew to go on vacation in a place where there are other Jews, doesn't prove to be a vacation. I'll leave up to imagination why that would be, but the fact is that it does not always pan out, right? We all know soon will be the big Ola Regal to Orlando, right? Anyone who ever made that trip, the winter vacation weeks, you bump into people and, you know, you bump into this one and you get into a whole conversation and you get into an argument and this and that in the middle of Disney, right? You get into the shul politics, it comes to life. So sometimes it could be that it may be better to avoid that, but that's a determination that a person has to make. If a person is if a person feels I need to go to this place because I want to be sure I'm not going to see anybody, right? And I know if I go to I don't know what's the contemporary places to go, but if I go to this place, I will not see at Bora Bora. Someone was just telling me where Shabbos. I'll go to Bora, but I'm not gonna see anybody there. If you go this week, there is a prom couple there, but if, you know, any other week. But if you want to go to a place like that, so then the you know, if you feel that's necessary, that could be an excuse. However, it's up to the person to decide. Maybe better go a place where they have shuls, where I could get to a minyan. Okay. Presumably, the brios heter would apply in a situation where there is a minyan in that place, but it's very early in the morning and I'm on vacation. It could also possibly be a heter, you know. But again, a person has to try to sensitize themselves to take this seriously. Okay, now, a person who davens kvasikin, it was mentioned earlier, the Mishnah Berurah says in the Bir Halacha specifically, that a person who davens regularly with the nates, that person has a heter to daven. If one day or one or two days they don't have a minyan with the nates, or I always daven with the nates, but now I'm traveling, I'm in a place where they don't have a nates minyan. So the importance of davening with the nates, for those who do it, if you do it regularly, it exceeds the value of tefillah b'tzibur. And therefore, for that, a person could say, I'll daven privately, even though there is a shul, but I will daven without the minyan. However, in this situation, that doesn't mean that he's completely off the hook. That means that the Shmoneh Esrei, he could daven privately. But he should still, if possible, go to the shul for the other things. Because what about Kaddish? What about Kedusha? What about Kriyas HaTorah? What about those things, right? Even though we said earlier that the main value of Tefillah B'Tzibur is the Shmoneh Esrei, however, it's not the only value. It's not the only value. There are secondary values. So therefore, a person who's in a play, who davens with the nates, so he should daven with the nates privately, but then go to the shul if possible for those other things. Similarly, a person who needs to eat before davening, in other words, we know that generally speaking, all things being equal, before a person davens shachris, he should not eat. Should not eat. Okay, you're allowed to take a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or something like that. There's all kinds of questions whether you could put with sugar, without sugar, but there's enough lenient opinions that you could have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or something like that. But to sit down and eat breakfast before shachris, a person really should not do. So the question is, well, what happens if, due to my situation, if I'm going to, I have to eat something in the morning by a certain period of time, and it's going to cause me to miss the minyan. So in other words, I can't wait till after shul. The only minyan in this town is 8 o'clock, and by the time they finish, it's going to be too late. I can't wait that long. I need to eat something earlier in the day. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens, I don't know if this is what people commonly do, but the Mishnah Berurah paskens that it is better that a person should daven privately and then eat and then go to shul for Kaddish and Kedusha, etc., rather than to eat first with the premise that I'm going to at least daven Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry. Shmoneh Esrei we're talking about, Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, now I'm sorry, this is running very late here. Just to finish up quickly, okay, another exception would be that in a person who does not have talis and tefillin, that happens sometimes, you get in a situation that you don't have talis and tefillin, and so you have to borrow from somebody. So the person says, all right, I'll lend you my talis and tefillin, but wait, if the Shmoneh Esrei, I'm going to daven Shmoneh Esrei with talis and tefillin, then I'll take it off and give it to you. So this commonly, this question comes up. So the person who does not have the talis and tefillin, is it better to daven with the tzibur and say the Shmoneh Esrei without talis and tefillin and then put it on after? Or should he delay his davening and not daven with the tzibur? And surprisingly enough, the Mishnah Berurah paskens, and this is on the final sheet, but because of the lateness of the hour, I won't read it inside. He says, the Mishnah Berurah says that it is better for the person to wait and not daven the tzibur so that he can say Shmoneh Esrei with talis and tefillin, because apparently the importance of saying Shema with tefillin on and Shmoneh Esrei supersedes tefillah b'tzibur, even though there are two schools of thought, but the hachra, the decision of the Mishnah Berurah, is that a person should better wait for the talis and tefillin and not daven with the minyan. Another example, which is brought by the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Avas Chesed, The Chofetz Chaim says that we know from the story, the famous story in the Torah, the beginning of Parshas Vayera, that God came to visit Avram after his bris milah, and he wasn't well, and then the three people, the three travelers passed by that were malachim. Avram didn't know that, and Avram went and turned away from Hashem and went to tend to these people. And based on this, the Gemara makes the well-known statement that Gedol Achnasas Orchim Yosim Mekabos Pnei Hashchina, that taking care of guests supersedes even greeting God. So what does that mean? You'll say that's a beautiful expression, but how does that play out in real life? Says the Chofetz Chaim that this would mean that if you have company in your house and you need to take care of them and there is nobody else to take care of them, you could forego davening with the minyan to take care of them. Because taking care of Orchim is more important than Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina. This is not, to my knowledge, brought in the Mishnah Berurah, but it is in the Furish, in the Sefer Avos Chesed, in the beginning of the third chapter, that he says this, that this would be another example where you could supersede a minyan. And basically, to end off, I mean, there are a lot of scenarios that we haven't covered. And I think that the way Moshe Feinstein seems to say it over is that the same way the rabbi said that you don't have to travel more than a certain distance, so that means that there is a certain level of tircha that you're obligated to take on for a minyan, and beyond that you don't have to. So really, a lot of the cases that come up, a person has to judge. A person has to judge, is this something that is such, it would be so burdensome for me right now to stop what I'm doing and go to shul, then you would not have to. But just to end with a little anecdote, someone asked him that, you know, in Israel, most people, especially Mishalayim, don't have cars, and if you want to get around, either you walk or you get in a cab. So someone said, well, someone made the argument that, let's say, the only shul you could catch tefillah b'tzibur, you have to go in a cab. And after all, we said that a loss of money, you don't have to incur for tefillah b'tzibur. So therefore, this person wanted to make the claim that a person would not need to get into a cab in order to make it to a shul to daven. To which Rabbi Yosef said, he said, that's a very good argument, but tell me, for what would you take a cab? He said, to go to this event, you would get in a cab. To go to this restaurant, you would get in a cab. So you have to be honest. In other words, if it's a big cab ride and it's a big ticket item, so then, all right, then that's a loss of money. But if it's a relatively small amount, it's not such a big deal. So a person has to say to himself, you know, the fact that the game, you know, here we have the NFL playoffs and they're hitting right into the time of Mincha this afternoon, right? So not to mention the Yeshiva's dinner, but even more important, right? We have the big games. Today, so a person said, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to stop now to go. Say, all right, it's a big tercha. I'm not feeling so well. But what, I already took my shoes off, so I don't have to get up and go to shul. So for this, really, it's up to every person to make a decision for themselves. But the person has to make an honest hashara. But the bottom line is that we should try to take this seriously. There is a mitzvah to daven with a tzibur, and it's a mitzvah that a person, it's very, very beneficial for a person, and everyone should try to the best of their ability to fulfill this great mitzvah.